on April 16, 2003, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel was interviewed by Rashid Olua for the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Yes, I'm looking for Rashid Olua, please.
Speaking.
Hello, Rashid. This is Mark. I'm calling from the organization of truthbearer.org. You had sent an email requesting an interview. Was that correct?
Oh, yeah, Mark. Thanks for calling back.
Sure. Okay, before we begin, I do want to let you know and confirm that it is with your approval that this will be tape recorded.
Sure.
Okay, then we can proceed. I want to know, first of all, what was the basis of your report that you're putting together?
I was just looking at the bigamy law and the number of bigamy arrests in New York State.
Okay.
What's your last name, Mark?
My name is Mark Henkel, H-E-N-K-E-L.
H-E-N-K-E-L?
H-E-N-K-E-L, yes.
Truthbearer.org?
Correct.
M-A-R-K, common spelling on that?
With a K, yes.
Yeah, can you describe your organization a little bit?
We are a cross-denominational, I guess you could consider it like a parachurch support organization of Christians. It is a Christian organization bringing Christian polygamy to the churches. And that we support decriminalization. We're not after legalization, but the decriminalization on the basis that government doesn't have authority for defining marriage anyway. But this is not a Mormon situation in any way, shape, or form. This is exclusively by the standard known definition of Christian, and that it is purely on the basis of what the Christian scriptures clearly say. And it's not a libertine or a liberal or lascivious or fleshly foolish or chest pounding or harem producing, any kind of concept. It is purely a conservative Christian basis, and we are showing to other Christians the reality of this, and we're attracting all kinds from Baptists to Pentecostals. We're not a new religion, we're not a new denomination, but rather we are a cross-denominational organization bringing this to all the different denominations.
I guess you want the
decriminalization
of bigamy.
Correct.
Is this based purely on biblical scripture? Or?
First and foremost, yes, that's correct. The thing that happens for many serious scripture studying Christians is the reality that hits you across the face like a 2x4 is how many of the incredibly mighty men of the scriptures who were polygamists. We're talking Abraham had three wives. Moses himself had two wives. I mean, the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. So the whole Adam and Eve story and all the type of doctrine that comes out of that, thou shalt not commit adultery and all that, was written by a man with two wives. And then there's scriptures specifically that even go into regulating having more than one wife. And go ahead.
Well, countering, you can make the argument that I was back then. Times have changed now.
That may be so. As an organization, we have a phrase called continuing the Reformation. And are you familiar with what that word Reformation means in terms of the Christian history itself?
Just Martin Luther.
You're on the right ballpark, correct. The premise behind the Reformation was that it was saying that the traditions of man had risen so much in the Catholic institution that doctrine for Christian faith is supposed to be based on what the scriptures say and not based upon tradition. And a phrase was created called sola scriptura, which means only the scripture. The scripture becomes the foundation for what we believe as Christians. Now, with that as the foundation for basically what amounts to Protestantism, they were protesting the traditions of the Catholic institution. That's what's called Protestantism, Protestant, and that's what that's all about. And that the whole Protestantism arose out of Reformation, the Reformation. We are continuing the Reformation in that if we are going to say that we believe all the scriptures as the scriptures were written, the absolute undeniable reality of it all is when you look at the scriptures, when they were written in the original Hebrew and Greek, that it was not adultery or fornication for a man to marry more than one wife, and it was not. And there are situations, and certainly culturally, I can give you great examples of where it would be valuable to society to have polygynous situations, such as, for example, we are certainly in a society of dumbed-down males where boys go around, you know, impregnating girl after girl after girl and abandoning them, and they're left as single moms on welfare. We're talking about men who want marriage, marriage with a plus, who take responsibility, and certainly it would be better for the abandoned single mom, rather than being the hamster in a wheel going round and round working just to afford to cover the cost of daycare, if she wanted the choice to be in a family that, with all consenting adults, wanted the situation where her children could be taken care of and you have more than one wife in the family, she would rather have that than the wheel being a hamster in a wheel cycle, never getting out and being trapped on the welfare situation. There are many types of situations like that where it actually could be advantageous. Now, we're not talking about harems. We're not talking about chest-pounding men and all that kind of a thing. In fact, we even have a phrase we call love, not force, and even have a website, lovenotforce.com. And it's not about men forcing their current wife, you know, I will have another wife if you don't like it, too bad. That's just absolutely wrong. Totally wrong. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about consenting, non-lascivious, marriage committed plural marriage, and it is scriptural, and that there can be societal benefits for it. Now, the whole idea of bigamy, first of all, I want to make a clarification. Bigamy can mean two things. One is the idea of what we call secret bigamists, the guys who go out and have a secret affair, and then that secret affair becomes a secret second marriage that none of the other ones know about. That absolutely is wrong, and that's breach of contracts and all that other kinds of things, and that's not what we're talking about. We certainly would not want to stop that kind of protection, because that's fraud and all that. We're talking about consenting, adult, non-lascivious, uncoerced, adult Christian polygamy, or polygamy in general. So what we're saying is that it is these laws are wrong to be preventing that. And not only so, if you look at some of the state bigamy laws that are out there, they're actually against the First Amendment of free speech. Never mind religion, free speech.
How so?
If you read the text of some states of the bigamy laws, for example, someone can cohabitate. You know, in fact, if a married couple and then another woman comes in, you know, and they can cohabitate. They can do all kinds of, you know, they can fornicate. The society could care absolutely less. The minute they verbalize with their mouth that one is a wife, doesn't matter whether they even don't go get a legal license or whatever. In some states, just the mere speech of that can criminalize that situation. And that's certainly an anti-free speech situation. I mean, it turns the mere making of a statement into a criminalized act. Now, that's not the case in all states, but some of the states that is the case. And it also provides the opportunity for violent men to harm ex-wives with children. For example, I know of situations where there was a violent husband, and he abused his wife, and after a while he abandoned her, and she and her children were hamsters in a wheel, and some good friends of theirs that basically what ended up in a situation where it was good for her and this other married family, and they became a happy family, and finally they had economic opportunities. One was able to go to school that they never would have been able to afford while one took care of the kids, and then they switched, and while one, the other one went to school while the other took care of the kids, and then all of a sudden this violent ex-husband, who's already abandoned the whole situation, decided to create some kind of a legal process to suggest that there is all kinds of problems go on. Now, this family never went out professing, the whole speech issue of professing to be polygamous and all, but decided to use this to then surprise attack them into a massive financial debt burden, because having to then defend themselves in court to protect themselves from him now trying to have the woman's children kidnapped from the family on the grounds that the family is supposedly creating a bad environment, when actually everybody's thriving, there's no more violence, there's nothing but goodness going on, and everybody's getting to school and getting an education and improving themselves and all that. And yet, because of because of the bigamy laws that are out there, it creates the environment that suggests they're breaking the law, when actually all they're doing is helping everybody involved. Everybody's come together. What better way to have three people being able to rotate and making income than one person as a hamster in a wheel? So you get the point.
Yeah. Just copy this down.
Certainly a lot of information.
So just so I can clarify this again, bigamy. You're not advocating for, the total withdrawal of the bigamy law. You're for the law in terms of fraud, the fraud aspect of it.
There's a difference between what we consider secret bigamists versus honest polygamists. If I say those two things, can you conceptualize what I mean by the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Okay, honest polygamy is when the wives all know about the situation and uncoercedly consent to it as adults. Honest polygamy. Versus dishonest bigamy, where a guy's out having secret affairs and turns the secret affairs into secret marriages that none of them know each other, and it was not with their consent.
So you're advocating honest polygamy.
Exactly. And from that standpoint, that's what should be decriminalized. And also, as a matter of clarification, bigamy is the legal technical term, and what it means is that each additional wife is a secondary wife, whereas the second secondary or the third secondary or the fourth secondary, it's all bigamy based on the law. But it does not mean, bigamy does not mean two, and polygamy means three or more.
Yeah, New York State's just bigamy. It doesn't matter if you have one or two.
Right, because the reason being is that any secondary wife beyond the first, whether it's the second secondary, the third secondary, or the fourth secondary, etc., is all bigamy. Because it's all the secondary, and it's the secondary aspect that makes the bigamy in terms of the legal ramification.
Now, have you run into any opposition from you in terms of your views?
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have a more specific direction with that question.
Yeah, I mean, how have you even taken me in terms of the Republican government? Because, I mean, just
In terms of what? Republican government, did you say?
No, the Republican government.
Oh, the public and government.
You talk to various religions, and, the whole idea is kind of shoot away and...
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to really deal with it anymore.
Right. Well, there's a couple of issues at play. First of all, there is a great psychological challenge for individuals when they first hear about the reality that polygamy actually is scriptural and is actually a Christian foundation having nothing to do with Mormonism. The reason why it's such a great psychological challenge is because everybody they ever knew, and everybody they ever heard of, all the great heroes in the churches and the Christians and all that they've heard on down the years, and their and their grandma who never missed a week at church and all that, what we're telling them is that those people were wrong. But that's so difficult for a person to take. And because a lot of people don't have the self-esteem to be strong enough to realize that, it becomes easier to commit an act of insanity to keep the sanity. And that is, the act of insanity is to deny the reality of it because it makes it easier to keep one's world that everybody else that they ever knew was right. Of course, that was if that's the exact same kind of logic that was used by the Catholic institution when trying to prevent the Reformation from happening in the first place. But the reality still is 2 plus 2 always equals 4. And when you look at the original languages of the scriptures themselves, the word adultery meant woman that breaketh wedlock. And when a man marries more than one wife, when she's not another's wife, no woman is breaking her wedlock, therefore there is no adultery. And that's why holy men from Abraham, Israel, Moses, and David, and even Jesus Christ described himself. He was not an actual married person. Don't quote me as saying that. He described himself in what was called the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, where he described himself in a polygamous parable. And if that was such a sin, Jesus Christ himself would not have described himself that way. The doctrine of itself, of marriage and all that, the whole monogamy idea, came 2 or 3 centuries after Christ and was not a doctrine of the coming of Christ and going to the cross and salvation and all that. That was a changed doctrine for acquiescence to the Roman political governments of its day. That's a whole nother discussion. But the point is that it is so hard for people to be able to cope with the reality of this that it becomes easier to just deny it. I don't know if you've ever read the book 1984 and the whole issue with Winston Smith and all, and it became easier to say 2 plus 2 equals 5 and deny that it actually equals 4 because that act of insanity would help him keep his sanity. And that's what a lot of people do, and that's how they cope with it. So be that as it may, we are making inroads, and we realize that it's going to take place. It's going to occur. Society will be changed through paradigm shifting. And we have noticed already some of the great Christian media elite. Right now we're not going to go into naming names for their sake, because we realize that, you know, if they suddenly made a 180-degree paradigm shift, then they'd lose their entire support network, and then they'd have no credibility, would never succeed. But the paradigm shift from Christian media elite, we've heard it already, it's already been declared, statements have been made, where the paradigm used to be that the Christian position was that polygamy is a sin according to the scriptures, we now have the paradigm shift that has been verbalized by Christian media elite saying you won't find the Bible calling polygamy a sin, but we don't recommend it. That's not 180 degrees yet, but that is an amazing paradigm shift. And one little shift at a time, we will get there, and that's how we're going to do it, and that's basically what our long-term strategy is.
How large is your membership?
We don't go into numbers because of the witch hunt mentality that's out there.
Would you consider yourself a national organization or?
Oh yeah. We've got people from outside the country actually. You know, the internet is an amazing thing. Actually, the internet is what's made it all possible. Because as a movement, Christian polygamy really is relatively new, starting back in 1994. In fact, there's a website you can probably check out called ChristianPolygamy.info. And that's got some history of the movement and stuff like that there.
It's confusing. When you think of polygamy, you immediately think of Mormon and the Mormon church and their shift.
It is important to specify the difference. One, I know that Mormons like to believe that they're Christians, and that's not even the purpose of our debate. We already know that there is a theological difference of understanding between LDS, Latter-day Saints, and what is known as the normal Christian paradigm. And we're not into that debate. The reason why Christian polygamy is different from Mormon polygamy is the presuppositional reasons for why polygamy is a valid thing. For Mormons, it is born out of their original founder, Joseph Smith, and supposedly having a revelation, and it's called Doctrine and Covenants 132, and then it gets expanded by Brigham Young, his successor. And the idea is that for Mormons, there's this theory that There are supposedly souls up in heaven waiting to be born, and therefore it is the Mormon obligation and Mormon duty to have as many children as possible so that these pre-existing souls will be able to be born into the Mormon families instead of into, the non-Mormon families. So, you know, it becomes a religious obligation, and so therefore polygamy becomes an obligation, and that goes into the whole force issue and all that, and that's why it's so anathema, because there's no choice involved, where what we're talking about is choice. So they've got that whole theological basis. As regular Christians coming from, you know, standard churches, like I said, from Baptist to Pentecostal, the whole span of different denominations, you know, we're not coming from any of that, you know, Mormon theology, philosophical ideas, or whatever. It's just purely, solely on the scriptures themselves, in the Old and New Testament, that it is not a sin for a man to have more than one wife. And it actually, when the Christian standard is supposed to be that a husband is supposed, the marriage model, according to the New Testament scriptures for Christians, according to the Christian paradigm, is supposed to be that the marriage model is supposed to be a man is supposed to conduct himself as though he's Jesus Christ, not that he is, don't misquote me here. And he sees that as his role model, his example of how to conduct his behavior. And the wife is to see herself as the church's. And with that role model, that still works, of course, again, with the parable of Jesus describing himself polygamously in Matthew 25, there's the parable of the 10 virgins, with one Jesus and many churches. The same thing with one husband and many wives. And when I say many wives, I mean a few. I'm not talking the silliness like 1,000 or harem. Again, we're not into that stuff. The point being is that with that, there is the kind of man that we're talking about here is not a chest-pounding man, but rather one who sees his role model as following the way Jesus conducted himself, which was compassionate, which was foot-washing, which was serving. So we're talking about a man giving and loving and helping to blossom wives. And you know, it's downright hard enough for one wife, never mind adding more. So we're not talking about something that everybody and their grandmother should go do, or grandfather, rather. You know, we're simply saying that there are valid situations where that's going to happen, and it certainly, from a cultural standpoint, given all the horrendous carnage we see in society of abandoned single moms, it certainly gives us a new option to help that in that situation, and to allow consenting adults, if that's what they would prefer, to have that choice.
Cool. Hey, one more quick question.
You say cool. No, not that that's a bad word. It sounds like you got a positive understanding of what we're saying here.
Oh, yeah. I can appreciate all different viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys are based out of California?
No, this is actually out of Old Orchard Beach, Maine.
Oh,
but we've got people all over.
I spoke with John. Have you been following any of the Utah cases at all? Or?
The Utah cases?
Yeah, polygamy cases at all. Or?
Such as? Which ones are you referring to?
Tom Green.
Well, of course, yes. That's an absolutely horrible situation. And that is a terrible example of polygamy. I mean, the guy's dealing with his stepdaughter, for crying out loud. I don't know if you realize the relationship that this man had. One of these girls was the daughter of another wife he used to be married to, he's no longer married to. She becomes his wife with a daughter who's 9 years old. The girl lives with them for a few years, and by the time she's 13, he calls her his wife. So, you know, a stepdaughter becomes his wife at the age of 13. This whole daddy-daughter dynamic, that's just obnoxious, and that's nothing that we would ever be about. That's just out of deep end there. But, of course, because the word polygamy is involved, suddenly, you know, that's going to be the media's definition of polygamy. But, you know, that's like every time a monogamist beats his wife, do you suddenly blame monogamy?
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I was going to ask.
There's some obnoxious thing. You know, the whole Elizabeth Smart case and all that, too? You know, the guy who wanted his supposed reason for kidnapping the young girl? You know, that's just another obnoxious example. It's not what individual people do does not define what good people do. You know, I mean, it would be like, imagine being in the time of when segregation, and understand, I am vehemently opposed to racism, but in the time when segregation was legal and they had the laws on their side, okay, racists had the laws on their side with the whole segregation and all that, and in order to keep justifying that, the segregationists, the racists, report news every single time that there's a crime that happens to involve a person of a non-white race. Bang, that's proof that's why we have to have segregation. See how obnoxious that is? Well, that's exactly what the media does with polygamy. They find every obnoxious example out there and say, that's polygamy. And it is the same exact horrific, irresponsible kind of approach to news as it would be for, and it's comparable to, racists using examples of crimes committed by people who just happen to not be white and use that as their justification for maintaining laws that separated whites from other races. And that's obnoxious. And it's also obnoxious the way people will do the same thing with polygamy. And again, you wouldn't ban monogamy because of examples of monogamous wife beaters. It makes no sense to then ban polygamy on the basis of anecdotal examples of fools in their own little ideas of what they think polygamy is all about. It's just irresponsible journalism to advance that idea. I can clarify that, or unless that made sense to you.
Oh, yeah, that made plenty of sense. And you know, unfortunately, that's what people are going to... That's the first thing that pops into mind when the word polygamy is brought up.
Well, the problem is that the media is not interested in the real story. You know, it's and I understand the commercial. I mean, I'm an American, and I'm you know, anti-socialist, and I'm certainly, you know, pro-capitalism and all that. And I understand the reason for the media to, you know, they got to get the story to make the sales, to get the ads. I understand that. However, you know, journalists all, you know, like to pat themselves on the back of how good they are and how much integrity they have and all that. And the polygamy stares right back in the face of every so-called journalist as to whether they really are operating with integrity or not. Because when it comes to this story, there are all kinds of things. But they can't, you know, a family can't come right out and be open about it, because the minute they do, they can be nailed. And so instead, and not only that, the media itself is just, you know, the media needs the sensational story in order to make the sales. And so therefore that's the story that gets all the attention, rather than taking the mature view and realizing, just as you would not ban monogamy on the basis of a vicious wife beater, monogamous wife beater, you don't ban polygamy on the basis of anecdotal fools, examples of fools doing bizarre things. So, I mean, I routinely do offer this as a challenge to journalists that would desire to have integrity, because truly polygamy does go right back in the face of a journalist in terms of the question of their integrity. And are they going to face it, reality, or are they going to hype it up to focus only on the sensationalist ideas that aren't even related to what we're really all about? You know. You know, and that's why, for example, with us, you know, we are focused on the rhetoric. It's the rhetoric that we're dealing with. It is what we're about, what we really are trying to get people to understand. We're not about putting out circus acts on display. Oh, ah, look at the family with multiple wives. Wow. You know, none of that. We're about the rhetoric, because the way we're going to get this changed is through decriminalization. We're not after legalization. We see anti-polygamy as a house of cards that in society, and the house of cards, the first floor of that house of cards is the conservative, scripture-believing Christians, from which we in the Truth Bearer organization come. So we're talking to fellow conservatives. We're not libertines trying to, you know, have all kinds of flesh foolishness and all that other business. And as not that everybody is a conservative Christian, but everyone knows one. And when you can persuade, which is what we're doing, persuade that constituency that it is scriptural and that it is pro-loving woman based on Love Not Force. Again, see lovenotforce.com.
Yeah.
That first floor is pretty much kicked out. And what happens when the first floor of a House of Cards comes crashing down? Everything comes crashing down. The other constituencies, feminists, will have to accept it on the basis of women's choice. If a woman chooses to want to have this kind of a family, that liberal Christians and religions will have to accept it on the tolerance dogma. Certainly, if tolerance dogma of liberals is has to accept adult, freely consenting, uncoerced polygamy, they have to accept it based on tolerance dogma, and cultural conservatives can see it as an advantage of helping single moms get off welfare. All these other constituencies will start come crashing down once we have persuaded that first floor of this House of Cards, and that's what our focus is. We're not after legalization, because what we're saying is government doesn't have the authority in the first place. And also you'd get bogged down between the conservatives and the liberals about, well, if you left polygamy, then you got polyandry, and then you got to do this. We're just saying government doesn't belong in it at all. And get it out and wipe it out altogether. And then all the constituencies would be laissez-faire at that point. And that's what our approach is and what we're trying to accomplish. And that's why it's also important to spell the difference out between Christian polygamy and Mormon polygamy or Muslim polygamy and others. Those are the foundational reasons why they believe in it, but it doesn't mean that that's the defining factor of all polygamy any more than different religious views of monogamy are.
Cool.
Now, when would you be having printed?
Monday, maybe.
Monday? Would it be possible for you to send us a couple copies?
Sure, you could. I suggest just going on a website or whatever. Hey, what's your mailing address?
Is Truthbearer.
Yeah, kind of clean sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Truthbearer.
P.O. Box.
P.O. Box.
Old Orchard Beach. Maine, two letters are M.E. 04064.
Orchard Beach, Maine. Zip 04064.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
So you expect this to be, say, Monday? What is the direction you're taking on this article?
Every week we do a section called Crime Beat.
Okay.
We focus on different aspects of criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I just decided to look into bigamy.
Okay. It's certainly an interesting subject. Won't be the last time if you really look at it.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm sure I won't.
Because actually, we see this as the next civil rights issue. You know, reality.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's the next one coming. Well, you'll be hearing from us.
Cool.
And certainly, if you need to speak with us again, keep us in your contact base, as we will you.
All right. Email's the best way to get back, right?
Certainly. Or truthbearer.org or the email's available from that site.
Okay.
Apparently you came from truthbearer.com.
Yeah.
Basically, we've got a number of sites. Truthbearer.com is our product site. If you do mention the website or mention us, you know, please do the .org.
.org.
Right. It's .com is our product site. .net is our web hosting site that we basically offer web services to people. Things like that. So truthbearer.org is the organization site and the ministry and the contents.
It's called Truthbearer, the name of the organization.
Correct. Capital T, capital B. It's all one word, but the T and the B are capital. Truthbearer. You can see it when you go to the site.
So, it's spelled that exact same way.
Right, exactly. One word, but the T and the B are capital.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes people forget the B, but the B is capital T.
Cool. Okay, Mark.
Well, I appreciate this, Rasheed. This has been a good conversation.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time.
I'm glad to be able to be here for you.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Now, you take care.
All right, you too.
Yep, bye-bye.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presented polygamy to the public since 1994. National polygamyadvocate.com.